Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Joe Biden respects government. He respects people who disagree with him. He listens to them.
I think that Joe Biden is going to train us to see the world differently.
He plans to usher in a new era of hope and the action he's promising the minute he takes office.
We've gone from indecency to decency.
He filled that empathy void.
There was not one part of that that wasn't just medicine in the wound.
Those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool. It's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms embracing America. It was a moment where the new president came to town.
A little of the fawning over Biden on day one. That stuff is just commentary. It's annoying, but I expect that. But my God, when they actually had his press person up there answering questions, and all the questions were, when's the new dog get there, or what paintings do you plan to put on the walls? It was all crap like that, and nobody asked any question like, hey, you just decided to stop building the wall. We got a caravan coming. What's your plan for doing that? We have 20 million illegal immigrants in the country. How are we going to stop that from growing? Or any critical questions on anything? It was all just puff piece stuff. And I hope that doesn't continue. Okay, that was day one. Maybe you get a pass on day one. But I hope that doesn't continue.
Right. They are original, or I'm sorry, allegedly are watchdogs, the media. And to hear him slobbering like that over the new administration is really kind of troubling. Meanwhile, you have Joe Biden, who is a lot of the things they said. He's famously a nice fella. Everybody loves him on Capitol Hill. He's an amiable, go-along-to-get-along compromiser, deal-maker, backslapper, bit of a hair sniffer, but nobody's perfect. And I think he's a decent guy. On the other hand, he is famously, I don't want to say a little dim. He is so congenial and flexible, he lets really bad stuff happen on his watch sometimes. And a great example of this is the critical theory thing that we've been talking about. Critical, some people say critical race theory, but it's a little more than that. But Chris Rufo, he's a journalist and a writer, he tweeted this the other day. Well, it was because one of the things Biden did on day one in the office was he struck down President Trump's ban on teaching on doing critical race seminars if you're an employee of the federal government.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is the, if you are white, you are racist, you were born racist, America is a racist country, and if you resist any of our changes, it's because you're a racist.
If you deny you're racist, it's proof you're a racist.
Right. Well, let me get to what Chris Rufo said, then there's something you really, really need to understand about this, and why it's so incredibly insidious. So Chris Rufo tweeted, and we're looking for a conversation with Chris. He's a busy guy right now. But today, President Biden doubled down on critical race theory in the federal government. In response, I am announcing a new coalition of legal foundations and private attorneys that will wage relentless legal warfare against race theory in America's institutions. The fight is on. And I would point out the most troubling part of this is this racist, hateful, corrosive garbage is being taught to our little kids and our high schoolers and our college kids.
And I do think we have a fighting chance on this, because I think educating the public about what it is part of the problem. As we saw in the debate, Chris Wallace didn't know what critical race theory was. Trump kind of knew. Biden had no idea.
Right.
A lot of people who are supporting it don't know what it is. They just think, oh, well, we're just, you know, it's like you're sexual harassment training you take at work. Don't sexually harass people.
Right. Don't be a racist.
Don't be a racist.
The critical mass of critical theory is the common folks. And you're right, Jack. And a lot of well-meaning people, especially white people, they have bought the labels that the critical theory people employ, racist or anti-racist. Here's what you have to understand. And some of you do already, and I would encourage you, bother your friends about this. Bore them at dinner, if we ever are allowed to dine with friends again. This stuff came from the 60s, and it was a bunch of just academic agitators who wanted to tear everything down. They didn't want to build anything. It was just like a mental, intellectual exercise. But it kind of caught on. And the idea is this. America, or the Western civilization, is racist, okay? It was built by race, on racism. Every aspect of it is racist by definition. And when we, the woke left, want to change anything, and it can be anything from the number of justices on the Supreme Court to the filibuster to voting systems to mail-in voting to the designated hitter to whether you can eat ketchup on your hot dogs. If it came from the racist civilization, it's racist. So if you defend it, you are a racist. So, for example, if Joe Getty, if I say, you know, it seems to me having everybody mail out millions of ballots and then millions get mailed back in, nobody's sure where they came from or if it was one person voting. That seems like a really, that could undermine our republic. Even saying that is racist because I'm defending the institutions of the United States of America. And a certain number of people say, oh God, no, I'm not a racist. I'm sorry. I'll conform. I'll do what you're saying, because they don't understand how they're being manipulated.
The other example I like is if you're against universal health care, since minorities are disproportionately affected by our current health care system, then you're a racist. You can't want to fix the current system. You have to be in favor of the government health care plan, for instance. Or your opposition to that is not economic or a worldview. It's just racism.
Well, right. And the so-called anti-racists, who are bitter, bitter racists, by the way, they portray themselves as unself-interested angels, paragons of wisdom and goodness. And if they advocate something, like Jack said, you know, socialized Medicare for all, for instance, If they advocate it, it is by definition anti-racist, and any opposition is by definition racist. And your kids are being taught this garbage in school and being told that if they're white, they're racist. If they're patriots, they're racist. If they're pro-cop, they're racists.
You might think you're not racist, but you are.
Right.
And it's so damaging for the white kids and the non-white kids, because you're telling the kids that aren't white that those other white kids in the class, they're racist. They're pretending they're not, or they don't even realize they are. Mm-hmm. They're racist. Their parents are racists.
They secretly hate you. Even if they don't realize it, they're trying to keep you down. You should hate them. And you should always, always, always do what we tell you to do. It is a naked power grab.
Boy,
it is 100% about power.
And also sending the message that any lack of success in our family or our neighborhood is due to racism is,
right.
Oh, that's so awful.
That dooms the millions to failure and misery. Being told from the earliest age you can't possibly succeed because of the white man. Number one, it grants white people, 99% of us don't give a crap. We want you to succeed. It grants white people like ultimate power, and it takes away power from the individual, which is why individualism is anathema to these people. You are not an individual. You are your race, period. You will vote with your race. You will think with your race. You will march in line with your race or your ethnicity or whatever. It is, I mean, seriously, if Hitler and Goebbels were here, they'd say, holy cow, you people are good. I never thought of doing it like that. They would admire the hell out of the social justice warrior types, the critical race theory people.
Wouldn't have thought you could get it into public schools. If you're interested in this topic, and I think it might be one of the more important things going on in the country right now, especially with the new administration that's, pushing it. If you're interested in it, follow James Lindsay on the Twitter. He comments on it daily, picking out places in America where it's rearing its ugly head. And it is daily. And it's just fascinating to see his pushback.
Well, and listen, I don't tend toward over drama. I don't appreciate it in other people. I think of myself as a realist. But Lincoln most famously, but Washington said similar things. Really, all of our great leaders, white, black, Hispanic, all of them agree. There's no external power that can bring down the United States. Certainly not in the next 100 years. It's just there's no way. The only way we go away is if we commit suicide. This critical race theory is the suicide. This is the gun to our own temple. I believe that firmly.
Do you think Joe Biden understands what it is? I don't think he probably does.
No, I don't think he has any idea. I think he's been completely fooled.
I think he understands when Matlock is on.
Sean,
that's
that is
not charitable.
That's ageist.
That's an uncharitable where we are currently.
Didn't you
listen to the poem yesterday? I feel like you missed the poem.
Yeah, Sean, that wasn't free speech. That was hate speech.
Come on, man.
To echo another one of their attitudes. A great example of this sort of thing on campus, how insane it's gotten after a quick word from our friends at CarShield. I remember how it was, especially, when Judy and I were struggling financially. A big car repair would come. Fate would hand us a big car repair, and it was devastating. It was disastrous. Don't live in fear like that. Call CarShield. CarShield gives you maximum safety on the road for a low month-to-month cost. They help protect you from expensive car repairs. They can save you thousands for a covered repair.
Yeah, month-to-month is the future. The idea of signing up for something and you're stuck with it for a year or two, those days are past, and that's why CarShield has helped over 1 million drivers. That's why they're America's number one auto protection company right now. And you can take your car to your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work. They take care of the rest. They got 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance. If your car is going to be worked on for a while, you can get rental car coverage too at no additional cost.
Well, that's good stuff. Just go to carshield.com. Use the code Armstrong to save 10%. Deductible may apply. Carshield.com. Use the code Armstrong. One more time. Carshield.com. Code Armstrong.
Wow, I was just thumbing through the news. I know you got more on that critical race theory thing, but
we
mentioned the Antifa militants smashing up stuff in Portland and Seattle last night.
Yeah, and tried in a number of other cities.
If you've ever been to Seattle and you're into coffee, you go to the original Starbucks because it's a cool thing to do, and it's right by the fish market, which you were going to go to anyway. But it got smashed up last night.
Of course.
Historic original Starbucks. Smashed all the windows out and everything like that. Screaming, chanting, their chant was, F Joe Biden.
Right. no cops, no prisons, no presidents. F. Joe Biden smashed up the Democratic National or the Democratic local office.
These are crazy people, and I hope we can all call them out as crazy people now that they're yelling F. Joe Biden.
We've been asking the left to call out the crazies on their side for a very long time. Will it happen now? Now that you can dare break ranks with some of your leftist brothers because you're not battling the evil, evil Trump.
Man, society shouldn't have to put up with that. Business owners should not have to put up with getting all their windows smashed out on a regular basis.
Arrest them every single GD time. Charge them every single time and punish them every single time. It's simple. It's easy. If I go around smashing stuff, I expect to get busted. You know why? Because I ought to be busted.
Apparently they're anti-coffee and anti-fascist, said one smart aleck Twitter follower.
No.
But here's a good picture of a big U.S. flag burning. There you go. F. Joe Biden burning the U.S. flag. Okay, I hope we stop ignoring that sort of thing. We don't want Biden, we want revenge, read one sign they were carrying through the streets.
There, oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I must have misheard you. The New York Times said that they were social justice demonstrators. Not vengeful extremists. I'm a First Amendment absolutist, practically, but I swear I'd like to see the New York Times shut down. Open up two or three other newspapers, keep every single person who works there employed, but under editors who aren't lunatics.
That's a funny sentence. I mean, I'm a free speech absolutist, but the New York Times needs to be shut down. That's a funny sentence.
Well, as a libertarian, I accept that I can't always get what I want.
We need to take a break and get to some other stuff when we come back. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Did The Simpsons nail another big political moment in America? There's kind of a thing out there on how The Simpsons episodes over the years have predicted the future.
They have.
Got another one of those coming up. But has anybody ever gone by a Brinks truck or, you know, one of those big trucks carrying money and not at least flirted with the idea of...
I can give you drawn out schematics of all the times that I have walked by those things and figured out how I could get away with it.
That's a weird impulse, isn't it? It's got to be, since everybody does it, I think, it's got to be healthy on some level. And we don't act on it. It's like everybody contemplates suicide, at least I'm told by psychologists.
If you walk into a bank and you're not casing the joint, I don't think we can be friends.
I don't know if I do that as much, but certainly the Brinks trucks, and my kids do it too. But a guy pulled it off the other day in the Bronx, stole $200,000. From a Brinks worker who was unloading cash from his armored truck. I'm not sure this was the best employee. The private security company worker was removing the sack of money from his truck there in the Bronx, 2 in the afternoon, broad daylight, and headed to a nearby bank when a crook pushed him. Well, he pushed him.
Okay.
That's breaking the rules. I didn't know you could push a guy.
Yeah, I haven't put that in any of my schemes. Yeah.
Pushed him and grabbed the bag and ran off with it. So you just shoved him, grabbed a bag, and ran off with it, $200,000.
And that's Brinks?
Yeah.
I always see him working in pairs.
And the guy that pushed him, they say, is about 5'8", 160. So it's not even a big guy.
Wow.
He just shoved the dude as he is unloading the sacks, grabbed one, and ran off.
That's not very good security.
All my plans included, like, you know... exploding cigars or mannequins or
some sort of distraction.
Exactly. Then you sweep around on the right and then I'll
melting off my fingerprints. None of them included just shoving a guy and grabbing a bag.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when they usually included shootings, those robbings. And that's where I'm never going to hurt.
No.
But I've shoved people before. I haven't lately.
So now depending on how the currency was broken down for the $200,000, his getaway bag weighed somewhere between 4 pounds, 6 ounces, and 110,000 pounds if it was all in pennies.
Right. Right. So you got to calculate that as the would-be perpetrator.
110,000 pounds.
Good news. We got an easy 200,000 just laying out there for us to take. Yeah. Bad news. It's pennies.
Anyway, I don't know if they'll catch the guy.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
There's this whole debate around whether or not you root for the success for a president you didn't vote for. I was looking at some of the stories yesterday about former presidents leaving a note in the desk for the incoming president, like happens every 4 years. And Trump left a note for Biden, and Biden won't comment on it. He said not until I talked to Trump about it first, but he said it was... Generous.
Said that twice.
Whatever that means. But they did mention that H.W. Bush, who was a one-termer, left a note for Clinton and said, you know, we're all on your side. We're rooting for your success, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's this debate around whether or not you should root for the success of the person you didn't vote for. Mitch McConnell famously said, I want Barack Obama to be, you know, a failed one-term president, and boo.
There was enormous fake outrage once when Rush Limbaugh said he's not rooting for Obama to succeed.
Yeah, and I get both sides of the argument. In general, my spirit is I root for all presidents to be successful. On the other hand, obviously it makes sense that if they're successful at implementing policies you don't like, then...
Yeah,
why would you root for that? So
yeah, you need to define successful, honestly. I mean, it's such a broad term. What do you mean?
Or if they're successful, they're probably going to get reelected, and generally, if it's not who you voted for, you don't want them to. On the other hand, Dr. Fauci is up on Good Morning America. I hope Joe Biden's administration and all the states involved are successful in the getting the 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days.
100%. And if they do, I'll give them full credit. Get that thing out. It's been a disaster so far. Although my skepticism lies in the fact that the problems exist on the state and local level, state and county levels. either the plans are dumb or overly woke, or, you know, a lot of people are claiming we need more money, but that's what government always claims. And I am very skeptical that some sort of top-down federal something or other is going to get a shot in your arm at your county.
I hope they're successful in standing up to China. Joe Biden's administration said Iran is not going to get a nuclear bomb under our watch. I hope they're successful at that. So there's a number of things I hope they're successful at.
Yeah, I hope they're a miserable failure at instituting critical race theory in our schools, in our government, in our lives, in our culture. And to that end, you know, I'm going to switch. I don't know. I can't decide which one of these is best to do. There's a move at.
I like that second one a lot.
Yeah, there's a move at Harvard. Well, they've already booted Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from upstate New York. She's a Harvard grad, became the first Ivy Leaguer in her family, the first to graduate from college, indeed. A really wonderful success story. She became a congressperson. She's also skeptical of the election results and was one of those people saying, I don't think we ought to certify it. I think she was wrong, but so Harvard has booted her off of their senior advisory board.
So now they have 100% Democrats on their senior advisory board.
Indeed.
You gotta like that at a university.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really good at a institution of, ideas. Very nice. You can't even lampoon that. You can't criticize it because it's so obvious. And there's a move among Harvard students to revoke the degrees of any conservative who.
Is this real?
Disputed the election. Well.
Can you revoke a degree?
Does that matter?
No. Can you come and suck the knowledge out of my head? I wonder if they can do that. Do they have a machine that does that? They hold you down and suck the knowledge out.
Well, it's merely a measure of how stupid college students can be, how incredibly unwise they can be. They're all fired up with their latest hotshot professor's ideology, and because they don't have the life experience to know when they've been hoodwinked, they go around spouting the nonsense. But one of the Fox News guys was going around Harvard asking the students what they thought about revoking degrees. Clip number 56.
The Harvard students petitioning to have Ted Cruz and Kayleigh McEnany and Dan Crenshaw's degrees revoked because of their objection to the certification. What do you think about that?
To have their degrees revoked?
Yeah.
No, I find that really silly.
I definitely don't agree with what they're doing right now in the government, but I think that's a little far.
Is it cancel culture? Is it?
Of course it's cancel culture. It's going to be one of the things that makes people too scared to say what they think, to have any sorts of debates that are meaningful.
The First Amendment says that you have the right to like freedom of speech, meaning you won't be persecuted by the federal government. It does not protect you against societal punishment.
When students come to Harvard and they think they're getting the greatest education in America, are they really just getting one side?
Well, definitely you're getting one side. That's true.
That's surprising answers.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy that clip so much, is there is some good common sense there. There's youthful foolishness. Virtually every one of them that cherishes the fact that they'll soon have a Harvard degree and will bring it up in every conversation they have for the rest of their life, the idea of having it
but
yanked.
But they'll say they can't go rowing with you because they pulled their hamstring. I was a Harvard rower, but right. I'll tell you what.
My hammy.
My rotator cuff or something.
Tighten up. Oh, no, yeah, sure, sure. Didn't you have like a Mexican head in your picture? Anyway, so I thought that was some good, solid common sense. On the other hand, David Clements is a law professor at New Mexico State University. And he said something about the hypocrisy of decrying political violence if it's only on the other side. And he is now in serious, serious trouble. He has been, well, go ahead, play clip 50, then we'll get into it.
But what happened this past Wednesday is not being categorized as a riot with an angry people that have every right to be angry. It's being called insurrection. They're being called an angry mob, demagogues. So first of all, I'm offended that this is the email that you're going to send to faculty when you've been largely silent as cities have burned. People have lost their businesses, homes.
Go ahead, do with 51.
It appears that the university is under a spell of Marxism. 20% of the faculty members out there identify proudly as Marxist. And so what I'm asking for is parity. If you're going to call out violence, call it out, but do it year-round. Don't just wait until it's politically convenient due to what happened this past Wednesday.
So, of course, expressing that point of view is he's in the hot seat, as is another professor. Love this story. And this is why we were saying earlier, you've got to fight this stuff. They're indoctrinating the kids. Professor Andrew Koppelman of Northwestern was writing about a... he's actually writing about Professor Jason Kilbourn at the University of Illinois Marshall School of Law. So evidently the black law students' members had advanced a petition against him. And he writes... On January 7th, I voluntarily agreed to talk to one of the Black Law Students Association members who advanced this petition against me. Around hour one or one and a half of a four-hour Zoom call that I endured from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. with this young man, he asked me to speculate as to why the dean had not sent me the Black Law Student Association attack letter. And I flippantly responded, I suspect she's afraid if I saw the horrible things said about me in the letter, I would become homicidal. Conversation continued without another hitch for 2.5 or 3 more hours, and we concluded amicably with a promise to talk more later. I would point out that if you're a law school professor and a single student demands to lecture you for 4 hours and you have to comply, that's the sort of cultural revolution fear that it starts with that.
God, I would say.
Yeah, are you kidding me? So, anyway... So, again, the thing, I think she was afraid I'd become homicidal. He apparently turned around and reported that I was a homicidal threat. Our university's behavioral threat assessment team convened with no evidence of who I am at all and recommended to my dean that I be placed on administrative leave and barred from campus. Having full discretion to implement or reject that recommendation and knowing me fairly well, having worked with me for quite a while the past 4 years, my dean decided that I was indeed a homicidal threat. The university cannot possibly suspend and bar from campus everyone who uses the occasional violent figure of speech. Such metaphors are common in casual conversation. In context, no reasonable person could take his language literally, assuming, etc. Even if one did take it literally, his statement was a speculation about the dean's state of mind, not a statement about his own. This is the modern college campus. University of Illinois at Chicago John Marshall Law School is one of the top law schools in the nation. Harvard, which you're talking about, is, well, it's Harvard. And though I'm sickened by the whole elite university thing, I got to recognize they're close to the top in everybody's hearts and minds. This is how crazy it's gotten. The young militants have everybody terrified on the university campuses. It's amazing. Amazing.
Just while we're on that kind of topic, and then we'll move on to something else, there's a commentary on the smashing up windows in Portland and Seattle last night. Here's an article about it in...
By the Mostly Peaceful Demonstrators.
MyNorthwest.com, whatever that is. It's a website. Meanwhile, in Portland, Antifa activists rearranged the glass and exterior of the Democratic Party headquarters with hammers and spray paint. But this was merely a belated thank you to the party that offered the definitely not domestic terrorist support for the last six months.
That's nice.
Rearranged the glass in the painting with hammers.
Well, the Democrats gave them cover, gave them comfort, gave them money, ignored pallets full of bricks being shipped about, that sort of thing. And then, like Alex Jones we were talking about, like that guy who's suspected to be the Q of QAnon, they've said, oh, boy, we thought we could contain the lunatics on our side, and turns out we can't.
Starbucks and Amazon are going to get into the vaccination business. I don't know where these offers were prior to yesterday or if there's a reason for that. Anyway,
well, and lack of storefronts isn't why the vaccination's not getting in arms, is it? Or they're just going to do their own people, they're saying.
Well, I don't know. I got the details coming up in just a second. Joe?
Yes?
Your vaccination is ready. And your hot latte and jabby in the arm.
Except that...
Mo?
Jolin? What? Do you mean Joe? This says Jolin.
Can I get this vaccination? No whip, please. No whipped cream on this vaccination.
Exactly. That's skinny, disgusting. Please. Just look at me.
We've got a new track star we should be aware of because we've got the Olympics coming up.
Oh!
This chick is fast. Woo. She's Usain Bolt. as a girl, and she's an American, which is awesome.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, really excited about that. All on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Cheetos has announced that actors Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher will star in its new Super Bowl commercial, which is, as of now, the biggest news story in the Biden presidency.
So, vaccinations. In Washington, they're getting the help of Starbucks to try to get the vaccine out faster, using their unbelievable logistic, labor, deployment, all the stuff that they're so good at with all their locations. Some of their expertise is going to go over to the vaccination side in the state, and they're going to join in. Probably a pretty good idea. Private sector's really good at that sort of thing.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Nationally,
getting lots and lots of stuff into neighborhoods is what they do.
Yeah. Nationally, Amazon is offered to help Joe Biden. You weren't going to help Trump because I guess you'd get beaten up for helping Trump or
anything.
They just
thought of it on Inauguration Day, Jack. It happens.
In a letter written to Biden dated yesterday, Amazon Worldwide Consumer CEO Dave Clark sent a letter to Joe Biden and saying, our scale allows us to make a meaningful impact immediately in the fight against COVID-19. We stand ready to assist you in this effort with our fulfillment centers all across the country, our data centers, blah, 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 blah. Although they also said, and all Amazon employees should get the vaccine so that we can pull this off. So that plays a role too.
There it is. We'll get to handing out those shots as soon as all of our people are taken care of.
Right. Seems like I had one other thing I wanted to get to, but I'll do this first. So is it the Summer Olympics coming up? I guess if it's this summer, it's probably the Summer Olympics, you genius.
Figured it out.
and it's in Japan, I think. There's some question as whether or not it's going to happen. Everybody's been planning on it happening, but with the COVID, maybe it will or won't. But I don't know. And I don't even know if this person is going to qualify, but Usain Bolt, remember when he came on the scene and he just was so much faster than everybody else, he became a worldwide phenomenon. A household name as a track star is hard to pull off.
Didn't hurt that his name is Bolt.
But he's from another country. Well, this girl, and I'm not...
Jamaica. It's only kind of a country.
Not positive how you pronounce her name, Zaya Holman. She is a freshman at the University of Michigan.
Mm.
She was the biggest star in the country in high school. And in her first meet yesterday, there is video of this, and it's absolutely amazing. And the reason it's getting so much attention and has gone viral on the video thing is she's running the anchor leg of the 4x400. Her teammates, now this is the University of Michigan. I got to assume her teammates are no slouches.
Oh, no.
And they're running against other Division I track athletes. But her teammates had gotten her so far behind. She's like 3/4 of a lap behind when they hand her baton. And she runs around the damn thing and passes everybody and wins the thing.
Wow.
And it's just, when you watch the video, you think, how can one person be that much faster than the other people when they're all good at this?
Right. Yeah. Wow. I got to see that video.
So her name
is Zaya. We should post it at armstrongandgetty.com.
We are. We are going to. Zaya Super. Holman, they ended up winning, and she won her other races in walking away sort of numbers, the way Usain Bolt used to do.
Running backwards, doing handstands.
They ask her afterwards.
What do you call it? A cartwheel over the the finish line.
They ask her afterwards about accomplishing such a comeback, and she said, yeah, I did that all the time in high school, honestly.
Wow.
That is my thing.
I'm watching it now. This is incredible.
It is incredible.
First of all, her teammate was already just kind of half jogging while giving her the baton. Is that you? Okay, this is why we're so far behind.
But yeah, it's interesting that a beast can come along every once in a while. Like Tiger Woods was in golf there at the beginning.
Yeah,
when everybody's trying as hard as they can, and it's the
and
best.
There's
of
very
best.
Very little separation between best and second and third. Yeah,
every once in a while, one person comes along. It's just like way better.
Yeah,
weird.
Right. It's like some guy comes along and throws 130 mph fastball. Yeah. Number one, the catcher would be dead, so they would have to deal with that. Just give him an immense mitt and have him hide behind it.
That was impressive.
Yeah, I look forward to her running in the Olympics and doing that to the Russians.
Yes, Merka! Now, she didn't, and I'm asking this sincerely, identify as a fella last week or anything.
No, none of that.
Because I know nothing about this young woman. I'm just glad she's an American.
And I hope she isn't partaking in any substances that would make you faster, like former female track stars have done, that were worldwide sensations, and then you found, oh, okay, well, You were cheating is the reason you won all those events.
Hey, she just likes to hang around the paddock at the horse racetrack. All right? She knows some vets. They're not jabbing her full of horse stimulants.
No, I don't have any reason to think
certainly
that is the case.
Certainly not. No, to even speculate would be, despicable.
Joe Exotic told TMZ he thinks he was just too gay to get pardoned and America wasn't ready for that sort of thing.
All right. That's there you go. That's 21st century right there. Yep. If you were a straight fella... A tiger-killing, stupid, messed-up hitman hiring, mullet-sporting...
Boss who allows employees to lose limbs.
Multiple boy toy marrying straight guy. Well, obviously, you wouldn't have boy toys. Oh, yeah. Oh, he'd have turned you loose immediately there, Joe. Of course. But if he can't have a gay fellow like you running around.
No, if he was doing the same thing with young women that he was doing with young men, he'd never get out of prison under any circumstances.
Right. Yeah, come to think of it.
Taking advantage of down and out young women and no way.
Like Doc Antle. But,
the other guy from Tiger King.
Oh, hey, this is exciting. We don't have time, but next hour. And if you don't get the next hour or whatever, just go to armstrongandgetty.com and get the podcast later. They have solved the mystery of jetpack guy around LAX.
I love this story.
Yes. And it is hilarious. There's a visual to it. We will post that at armstrongandgetty.com as well under hot links. Go look for it in a few minutes.
A lot of Seattle in the news with them smashing up the Starbucks last night because the Antifa crowd hates Joe Biden so much. But also from Seattle, the King County government erased Christmas, Easter, and Hanukkah for taxpayer-funded holidays like International Human Rights Day and Arab American Heritage Month. So no more Christmas, Easter, or Hanukkah, but they have come up with those new holidays that will be funded with various parades and activities for everyone.
The West Coast has lost its mind. At least certain cities there. Oh, speaking of which.
So if I hide eggs and have kids find them, I'm arrested or?
No, but there'll be no parade downtown that's being paid for with your tax money, but there will be some international this or that paid for.
Did you know that San Jose is the 10th largest city in America? I didn't know that, actually, and we're huge in the hoe. Have been for years and years. The mayor of San Jose, who we've had bones to pick with in the past, is calling out Cal Unicornia for its terrible business climate.
Really?
Interesting stuff, yeah.
All on the way. Hope you can stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.